To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
Happiness, sadness, contentment, frustration, peaceful, agitated, plenty, lack, fitness, or at the risk of being politically incorrect, fatness, health, illness, everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, all the things that I've mentioned, and no doubt you have your own list too. These are all states of mind. Nothing that I have mentioned has anything to do with anything other than what is going on in your own head. It has nothing to do with what is going on around you. It has nothing to do with what people are doing to you or what you think they're doing to you. It has nothing to do with those with whom you find yourself or those with whom you have to deal every day. It has nothing to do with the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. It has nothing to do with the outer world. Whether you're happy or sad is a choice. Whether you're content or frustrated, a choice. Whether you're agitated or peaceful, think that you are in a state of want or plenty. Whether you're fit and healthy or the opposite, all of these things are choices that you make in your own head. They've nothing to do with what is going on without. Whatever is going on within creates what we think is going on without. Let me pick up on a couple of those points straight away. I want to quote an interview with an oncologist. Don't know the individual's name. It was, in fact, an interview that my better half, Lisa, came across, and we were talking about it over breakfast a couple of days ago. This particular oncologist said there is a particular kind of person that he has never seen in his life, in his practice. He has never seen a single person who ticks the following boxes. Someone who has no anger or resentment in their life and who is at peace. Someone who meditates regularly. Someone who drinks moderately. Someone who has a well-balanced diet. And someone who exercises moderately. Five boxes. Those five boxes, when they're all ticked, mean you're going to live a long, happy, and healthy life, regardless of the genetic predispositions that you might have. I've quoted before another medical professional with regard to people's generally held belief that you will get this, that, or the other disease as a result of your genetic makeup or your genetic predispositions to getting this, that, or other disease. Genetics loads the gun. Lifestyle pulls the trigger. In other words, the choices that we make are what lead us to health and happiness or frustration and illness. As I've said on many occasions before here, a mind that is ill at ease creates a body that is diseased. And the science behind that is very, very clear. When our minds are not at ease, cortisol is dripped into our system. And the effects of cortisol are well documented over the last 30, 40, 50 years. Cortisol increases the heart rate, increases blood pressure, increases the production of bad LDL cholesterol. Cortisol suppresses the immune system and suppresses the digestive system. If you're harboring resentment, if you are even just mildly annoyed by the things that go on in your ordinary everyday life, if you're suffering from low-level background stress to the point where it is so background, it is so low-level that you don't even realize what's going on in your life, the probability is that if you're using your mind normally, you won't realize that anyway because you're dead from the neck up. But if that is going on in your life, you are shortening your life by the choices that you make. We can lengthen our lives by the choices that we make, but let's not talk about longevity here at all. Let's not talk about the future. Let's talk about the one and only place that matters, the here and now. Because the choices that you make in the here and now dictate the experience that you have of your life in the here and now. You choose happiness. You choose contentment. You choose peace of mind. You choose plenty. That enough is enough. Or indeed, as somebody said to me recently, that I am enough, meaning you are enough. You don't need to be perfect. None of us is perfect. We're all only human. You don't need to have all the money in the world. I'll come back to finance in a minute. You don't need anything other than what is required for you to have a wonderful experience, a perfect moment in the here and now. And this spills over into everything. Let's deal with finance, first of all, because people are obsessed with finance. I recollect I did a little poll amongst my online program owners about 4 years ago and asked them what they wanted to cover in one of our forthcoming program owners' Zoom conversations. And I gave them five choices. And if you added up the second, third, fourth and fifth place votes all together, they wouldn't have come close to the winning subject, which was financial freedom. People are obsessed with money. And indeed, it is something that I touch on in this week's Thursday morning video as well. Something we've touched on many times before. Oh, before we go any further with regard to the Thursday morning video. Thursday morning's video is 950-something in a series that stretches all the way back to 2008. It drops into thousands of people's inboxes all over the world at about 8 o'clock my time, French time, on a Thursday morning. If you're not getting that, you can use the link in the podcast player on which you are listening to this to sign up and not just get my regular Thursday morning video quick tip and reflection, but have immediate access to all the 950-something videos, reflections and quick tips that have gone before. But when we sat down, program owners and I, that Wednesday evening to explore financial freedom, the conversation started by somebody mentioning financial security, assuming, I suppose, that financial security and financial freedom are the same thing. They're not. There's no such thing as financial security. I know plenty of people who had invested their life savings and indeed their pension funds in rock solid blue chip bank shares in the mid 2000s who, following the crash in 2008, had nothing. They thought their investments were secure. That was an object lesson in the fact that there is no such thing as financial security. But there is such a thing as financial freedom, because financial freedom is a state of mind. I recollect a number of years ago being recommended by a friend of mine to a potential client, and I met the individual for lunch in Dublin, and we sat down, had a chat, during the course of which he told me that he had just sold his share in a family business and he had 25 million euros cash in the bank. As the conversation progressed, we talked about his goals, his objectives, and the kind of things that he feared. He feared that he didn't have enough money. His goals and objectives were all around getting more money. I suggested to him that he needed to slightly alter his perspective. And if he didn't slightly alter his perspective, there was no merit in he or I having any further conversation, which we never did. The more you have, the more you want. As the old expression goes, the less you have, the less you have to worry about. People think they need a vast amount of money for, I actually don't know what reason, because consider the kind of things that make us happy in life. Not the things that give us pleasure, the kind of things that make us happy. Good times, spontaneous moments, perfect moments, happy times with people that we love. The best things in life are free, but that is not to say that we don't need money. The universe knows that you need enough money to live your perfect life. But enough isn't more and more and more. Enough is enough to ensure that today you can live your perfect life. Now, people will immediately say, but what about tomorrow? What about my plans? What about pension planning, for example, because I alluded to pensions a couple of minutes ago. What about ensuring that I have a nest egg? What about ensuring that I have a cushion should something happen in my life? People are obsessed in putting the financial cart before the horse. Whereas if you just appreciated the wonder of the perfect moments that we spontaneously experience in the company of those that we love, or in those magic moments perhaps on our own when we experience a natural high for whatever reason. If you were to wrap your head around those things and put that first in your life, then if we stick with the cart and horse analogy, having put the horse of good life in front of the cart, the financial cart, you'll find that when you're in flow, everything flows, including cash flow. Financial freedom is a state of mind. And the sooner you get your head around that, the more effortlessly the cash that you need for everything that is good in your life will effortlessly flow to you. This applies to individuals. It applies to people who own their own businesses. It applies to people who have been tearing their hair out looking for their ideal job or ideal career. It applies to big business. It applies to multinational business. I have been privileged to work with a couple of leadership teams in large multinationals over the last 30 years who got this and realized that if they put doing the right things first, the bottom line wouldn't just look after itself. The bottom line would explode in ways that Wall Street couldn't even begin to imagine. Happiness, contentment, peace, plenty, health and fitness. These are all choices that we make. These all boil down ultimately to one choice. Am I in charge of what's going on in my own head, or am I normal? Now, we know from previous conversations that normal means I'm operating on automatic pilot. That's the way our brains evolved. Normal means that I'm not making those choices for myself. My automatic pilot is. Normal means that I am allowing my automatic pilot in making those choices, ensure that I make it from one day to the next. And normal means that as a result of my automatic pilot making a load of noise in my own head, rather than being happy, I'm sad. Rather than being contented, I'm frustrated. Rather than being at peace, I'm agitated. Rather than knowing that in the moment I have enough, which is the equivalent of plenty, there's a want in me or a lack. Normal means that I'm not going to be fit and healthy. Normal means that I'm going to stumble from one day to the next. Normal means that I'm missing my own life in the here and now. 96% of people, statistically speaking, are using their mind that way. No wonder the world is in the mess it's in. No wonder health systems are groaning under the weight of unhealthy people. No wonder people are pill-popping to deal with the stress that they only think they are suffering from. No wonder people are on Ozempic to look after a state of health that would have adequately been looked after had they only looked after their own state of mind. No wonder the pharmaceutical industry is raking in so many billions of dollars on the back of normal, crazy people. The solution to all of your problems, let's deal with health and fitness first, but the solution to all of your problems lies in your own hands. Let's deal with health and fitness. Because I alluded to what cortisol does to the cardiovascular, digestive and immune systems earlier on. We've talked before about how taking charge of your state of mind through meditation boosts the immune system, boosts the digestive system, reduces heart rate, reduces blood pressure, and undoes the buildup of fatty LDL cholesterol in the cardiovascular system. Your health is in your own hands. I alluded to the oncologist's comments earlier on in this particular episode. We know from research collated by the World Health Organization over the last 40 years that 90-something percent of heart disease and illness, 90-something percent of cancers are all related to stress. Now, stress comes in all shapes and sizes, and I suppose one could say there is actually a stress spectrum, with where stress is somewhere in the middle. Depression is off down one end, because depression is only stress on speed as a result of repeated ruminative thoughts that lead ultimately to depression, even clinical depression, by the way. And at the other end, there is frustration, agitation, and the feeling of lack. But the really interesting thing about what the World Health Organization says about stress is, first of all, that stress will kill you in that it will shorten your life by an average of 6 or 7 years. We've talked before about how, according to the World Health Organization, stress is the root cause of the currently described pandemic of hypertension, from which more people will die in the developed world in the 21st century than anything else. But the research goes further, and I used the words anger and resentment right at the beginning of this particular episode. Anger will kill you much quicker. Anger is way up there on the stress spectrum. And the problem is, once you put a foot on the stress spectrum, you're on a very slippery slope indeed. You could resent something that somebody did to you. Or, as we've discussed before, you could resent something that you think somebody who you think you know did to somebody who you think you are, because that's the way the normal mind works. You see, let's tear that sentence apart for a minute. We don't know who we are when we're using our minds normally. We only think we know who we are based on what we learned about ourselves when we were young and impressionable. We don't know anybody whom we meet because, again, of the way in which our brains developed from an automated perspective during our childhood. When we meet someone new in adulthood, we immediately associate the person that we've just met with somebody who made and left an impression on us when we were young and impressionable. In other words, we box the person who we have now met as an adult. We do it automatically within 4 seconds using a process known as categorization. So we never meet the people who we think are bullying us, for example. We never meet the people who we encounter on an ordinary everyday basis. And therefore, if somebody does something to you and you resent it, or you get angry and you harbor a grudge, what has actually happened is that who you think you are thinks about who you think the other person is did to you. There are so many pieces of the cognitive appraisal jigsaw involved in us understanding what is going on in our normal everyday lives, that when we use our minds normally, we haven't a clue what is going on. But it leads to frustration, it leads to resentment, it leads to agitation, it leads to more fundamental things that make us dissatisfied with our lives, like sadness and loneliness. This is all in your own head. And as I said earlier on, you of the solution to every single problem, issue, and challenge in your life. If every single problem, challenge, and issue in your life is created in your own head, in other words, if the automated choices that you're making are the problem, then the deliberate choices that you make to be present, to know what's going on, and to behave accordingly, those choices are the solution. The wonderful thing about being the problem is that you're also the solution. Now, you and I live in the real world. I know, working for myself for more than 30 years, that even doing what I love creates daily hurdles, sometimes bigger challenges, big issues, big problems, stuff that has to be dealt with. In short, you don't need me to tell you that there are real challenges, real issues, real problems that we have to confront in our ordinary everyday lives. The question is, are we going to confront them from a position of absolute ignorance? In other words, not knowing what's going on and not knowing who we are, not knowing that of which we are capable. Are we going to confront these issues from a position of absolute ignorance? Or are we going to deal with the issues from a position of power? Because you have a power within you that is suppressed when you allow your automatic way of thinking make your automatic choices for you. There is a power within that we never experience until we take charge of our state of mind and allow the automatic mind that makes our automatic choices for us sit on the sideline. To use a rugby analogy, we could give our automatic minds a yellow card and send them to the sin bin. Now, in actual fact, if I stick with that analogy for a minute, that yellow card should be changed to red. We can do without our automatic mind. I know it has enabled us to make it through the day on a regular basis, every day of our adult lives since we were 12 or 13. But there is another way, a way in which we unleash our inner power as a result of parking our automatic way of being. You see, if we don't park our automatic way of thinking, then all of the real challenges in our everyday lives are magnified. And what happens as a result of that is that we experience peaks and troughs, highs and lows. Some people tell me that they experience lows and lows, troughs and troughs, and very few natural peaks or highs. But the problem is, when we're using our mind normally, the crap that is going on around us and the crap that people, normal crazy people around us, are feeding us drags us down, so that there are these big downs, these big lows, these troughs. And then on the odd occasion, even the normal crazy person using their mind normally will experience a high. It mightn't be a big high, but some days are better than others. But the fact of the matter is, when we're using our mind normally, there are peaks and troughs. And sometimes the troughs can be very deep indeed. And sometimes when we're in those troughs, we can see no way out of them. And that is why I said earlier on that once we put our foot on what might loosely be described as the stress spectrum, it's not that difficult to slide further and further down, aided and abetted by the slings and arrows of everyday life, down into a trough where we can't see a way out and we end up suffering from depression, or at least thinking we're suffering from depression. Key point I want to make here is that when we're using our minds normally, we're jerked up and down by what's going on around us, or actually, more accurately, we're jerked up and down from a position of absolute ignorance, without having a clue as to what is going on around us, but magnifying all the bad stuff around us and magnifying the difficulties that we think we might have in dealing with all the bad stuff around us. When we start making deliberate choices for ourselves, when we start choosing to be present, when we start choosing to be content in the moment rather than frustrated, when we choose to be at peace in our minds rather than agitated, when we choose to understand the importance of the fact that I'm breathing in and out at this moment in time, and in this moment, as a result of that, I'm alive and kicking and all is well. When I make these deliberate choices, no longer am I jerked up and down by the real challenges of everyday life. No longer do I experience peaks and troughs, or troughs and troughs. What would look like an acute peak and trough chart for the normally minded person suddenly has the peaks and troughs smoothed out. And rather than looking at a chart that has big highs and deep lows, we end up looking at a chart for our experience of everyday life that is more like an undulating wave, which is really interesting, because when we make the right choices to ensure that we are present and in the moment, when we make the choices that enable us flow and be at peace, our energy, our superstrings of energy, to quote quantum physics, that again, according to quantum physics, shimmer when we're in flow, our energy starts flowing or undulating. It's little wonder that when somebody's energy is coherently undulating in rhythm and in time with the flow of universal energy around them, then the highs and lows of everyday life are smoothed out into not a natural high, but a natural higher. Nothing phases us when we're in that state of mind. And indeed, even when we experience perfect moments, we simply experience them rather than say to ourselves, oh my God, this is so perfect. I want to have it again and again and again. Perfect moments, like all the bad stuff in life, perfect moments arise and pass. And what we have to do is allow ourselves experience the moment. You have a choice to make moment to moment. You have a choice between allowing your mind run away with you, taking you down the dark alleys that start with annoyance and frustration and agitation, and that end with loneliness, sadness, resentment, anger, lack, and ill health. You've a choice as to whether you want to allow your mind run away with you, or choose to be present in the moment. Choose to experience the reality of you breathing in and out in the moment. Choose to allow your mind settle. Choose, as we said a few weeks ago in this podcast, to slow down, to give yourself time to do just what you need to do effortlessly. Choose that you are going to speed up your experience of joy and flow in your life by slowing down in the moment. The actual phrase we used was that we need to put the brakes on to accelerate. We need to slow down to speed up. This is a moment-to-moment choice that you and I have to make. And it is a matter of life and death. Because if I'm not present, I'm not living. And not only that, if I keep being not present, keep making the wrong automatic choices, I'm shortening my life. I'm going to have a negative experience of everyday life. I'm going to have a negative experience of myself, and that is going to have a negative impact on my health. Now, I'm not talking about replacing negative with positive. I'm talking about allowing negative, which is only a construct of the way in which we automatically think, go away by choosing to be present. Everything flows from getting that choice right. Once we choose to be present, once we experience the effect of making that choice, we then begin to feel that inner power that I mentioned a few minutes ago. We begin to have a better understanding of who we really are, because we can feel it in our bodies. It isn't a concept that we have. It isn't something that somebody like me has told you. It is something that you feel in your body. And once you begin to feel good as a result of feeling flow, you begin to effortlessly make all the other choices that you might think you have to make on a day-to-day basis. Choosing happiness over sadness or contentment over frustration, being at peace over being agitated, choosing plenty as distinct from wanting more and more and more, choosing fitness and health over ill health. All these choices actually flow effortlessly without you having to make the individual choices once you get the most fundamentally important of all those choices right, the choice of being present in the moment. Now, none of us can just choose one day to say, right, I'm going to be in the here and now, and I'm going to be in the here and now forevermore. First of all, because we live our lives in moments, and something may happen to you in the next moment that would challenge your decision to be in the here and now. But indeed, your own thinking mind will challenge the decision to be in the here and now, because you haven't been in the here and now if you've been using your mind normally, automatically, all of your adult life. You can't just decide, I'm going to unplug that. You have to train yourself to allow it unplug itself. You see, there's no drama involved here. There's no effort involved here. There's no separation. There is just a letting go. And that letting go comes from embracing the reality of the here and now. That's done, again, through feeling. And that feeling is best experienced in the everyday training that meditation provides us with to enable us choose presence, choose life, choose joy, choose happiness and contentment, choose and experience peace of mind, health, fitness, and financial freedom. It's an all-inclusive package, this choosing the here and now.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.